5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Hey, this is not first class.
Circus! Afro Circus! Afro Circus! Afro
Welcome to The Clown Car, a parenting podcast where a dad
and a mom
talk about what it's like being the ringleaders in our own circus.
We are not professionals. The only credentials we have are for kids. So do your research and find what works for you.
Hello, fellow ringleaders. We are your hosts, Barry and Crystal Riggs.
Oh, I thought you were singing. Barry and Crystal Riggs.
Yeah! So, we have four children, ages 2, 4, 6, 8. That, I guess that's a thing now.
It is. Because we always say 8, 6, 4, 2, and that's way harder to say.
Yeah, going up is a lot easier. 2, 4, 6, 8.
I think because we go, like, oldest, you know, firstborn,
but
2, 4, 6, 8.
2, 4, 6, 8, and 2 boys and 2 girls. So, evenly matched.
Boy, girl, oh boy.
So, anyway, so it's been another week of our crazy clown carness. So let's talk about our crazy circus.
It's time for the stories of the week.
Yes, let's talk about our stories of the week. So we talk about all the crazy things that happened this week, and fun things, and not so fun things, and all that.
I'm going to start with the literal clown car.
Oh!
For about a month or so, the trunk of our van has been stuffed mile high with stuff that I've been meaning to donate to this thrift store in town.
Yeah.
But just haven't. Like, not only just completely full, but there's a lamp going down the middle of our van.
That the kids had to climb over in order to get into their seats.
Now, in my defense, I did try to drop it off a couple times, but they were, like, closed or locked or something.
Uh-huh.
And so on Saturday, we actually emptied out the clown car.
Yes.
So that was nice.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
I was like, let's go do this.
I know. Fury in your eyes.
And we did it. So, I want to be able to put our groceries in the back of the van.
Oh, I know. Because we went to a family event, and I was like, ugh, I don't want to go without the stroller. And I was like, oh, yeah. Well, I'm not cleaning out the car, so I guess the kids have to walk.
That's right.
So, anyway, we're back to a semi-clean car.
Yep.
Well, no, the trunk is clean.
Okay.
Nothing else is in that nasty car.
Yeah, well, that's the life of a minivan and a family of 6 people, right? Now, I have a question. Our fellow listeners, are you the type of, like, my car always has to be clean. There's no eating in my car. There's no drinking in my car. I wash it weekly. And are you that person? Or are you more like us, where it's like, it doesn't matter. It's just a vehicle to get us from point A to point B. If it gets dirty, you know what? We've owned our car for, what, 7 years now?
No, we bought it right before Lacey was born. We've only had it for 4 years. We bought it the summer before she was born.
Okay, 5 years. We've got it for 5 years, and I don't think we've ever washed it once.
Wait, on the outside?
Yeah.
Yes, we have.
What? When?
Our kids did.
Well, that doesn't count.
Like 10 minutes.
They sprayed it with a hose.
It still has those nasty, nasty bug grill from our trip this summer.
That's right.
It's gross.
But I mean, it's just like, I'm not going to clean my car, the outside of my car, because it's just going to get dirty again.
Well, and if our car looks bad, then people won't steal things out of it.
There you go. Be like, they'll look in the car like, oh, gross.
Nasty.
But don't worry, we do clean the inside of it, people, so don't get it wrong.
Occasionally.
Like once a quarter.
I know, it's horrible. Our kids always, like, are eating things, and you're like, where'd you find that?
Be like, it was just sitting right here.
Be
like,
chair.
What doesn't kill you, right?
Like, the other day, Jackson was eating a sucker, and I was like, oh, that had to have come off the floor.
Maybe.
Hopefully he had a wrapper. I don't know.
So,
anyway, let's keep going.
Yeah. So,
I just had to share that.
Okay. Well, what'd you do this week?
What didn't I do this
what
week?
What didn't you do? I don't know. What didn't you do? You haven't let me look at your list.
Well, I was looking over and it's like, Lacey, 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 Lacey. So apparently this is the week of Lacey.
Once again.
Who's our four-year-old? Well, because I'm only home with her now, her and the baby.
And the baby.
So.
The baby's two, by the way.
My kids love to pretend to be animals.
Animals or dogs, mythical cats, creatures.
Unicorns.
Mermaids.
Oh, yeah. Lacey's been crazy. That one day she turned into like four different things.
Yeah.
Anyway, so one day, Lacey and Jackson were dogs.
Okay.
And I see them both on the floor. We'd just been outside playing and we came inside and they're both running around on the floor being dogs. And I didn't see it because Lacey was facing away from me, but Jackson's barking on the ground and she goes, fetch, and picks up this thick branch and chucks it right into his face. I don't know if you ever saw it, but he cut his lip. Did you see that scab on his lip?
No.
And he flipped out, and I flipped out, because I didn't know.
Nice.
I mean, I would have stopped. I don't know if I would have stopped it, but I would have liked to think I would have.
That would have been a perfect meme. Fetch! Boom!
Right in his face, cut his lip, just crying. So that was the first. I think that happened on Monday.
Yeah.
And I was like, seriously?
Well, and as a parent, like, when you hear, like, immediate crying, not like a gradual cry, but immediate cry, and then you add blood on top of that, like, you immediately go into hulking mode on the other child. What were you thinking?
I know. Well, and I watched it happen, too. Well,
you're like, no!
We've talked about that before, like, common sense is not something you're born with.
It's not common.
You have to teach kids common sense, because really I was thinking, duh! Like, that was dumb! But I have to remember, she probably didn't even think that this heavy,
For sure he's gonna catch it in his mouth! He's a dog!
I know, so, I did Hulk a little bit at the beginning, but then it got funny.
They're like, oh wait, that's actually funny.
So, that was experience number one for the week.
Awesome. Well, our kids recently have had an uptake on, they're really coloring crazy right now. Like, not just like a couple of them, but like all of them.
It's been fun.
And not just coloring, but they've been coloring a lot out of coloring books, but they're taking blank sheets of, you know, printing paper and designing their own stuff. And lately it's been designing their own Pokemon, which has been fun to see Grayson, like, create things out of his imagination, like, drawing-wise, and that's, I think that's awesome.
It is awesome.
Yeah. So, they've been getting really into that.
Although, today, I was given a coloring page, like, from an actual coloring book of a set of keys.
Yes.
I was like, who thought to put that in a coloring book? Like, I know. What's more exciting to color than keys?
Than keys.
Like, just two, it's like three keys on a keyring.
It's like,
nothing, yeah. Just no design, just
keys.
But, you know, I appreciated it. She was like, I colored it in your favorite color, so then it turns cute.
Yeah.
I was like, car keys? That's weird.
But it just makes me think that, you know, well, I guess we need to let Santa know to bring some possible arts supplies. And
holy crayons, and I know.
Lots and lots of crayons and more.
We've gone through 5 boxes in the last, like, 3 months.
Yeah, so it's crazy.
Write that down.
Write it down.
Crayons. So, Lacey has had some really psycho-tired moments this week. Like, the other day, she just burst into tears. I wasn't there. I was in my room. I didn't know why she was crying. And I hear Grayson and Jay. It was so sweet. They surround her, and they're like, what's wrong? Why are you crying? And she just went ballistic, and she's like, I just want to see Oma!
Grandma in Utah, yeah.
And then, so she's bawling, and I was like, oh, she misses Oma. And then she crawls into bed with me, and she was like, I just want a real home. I want to move. And she didn't say, like, bye, Grandma, because we're renting this house, and I don't know if, like, I don't know what was up with that. But I was like, wow, you just switched from Grandma to
new home, yeah.
And then the next day, she had this crazy meltdown crying because she dropped a bee. And so Barry's like, a bead? And looking all over for it. And she's like, no, a bee! And so then we're thinking like a little buzzing bee.
Like a bee. Like
something.
A,
like a toy.
Like the bug. A bee bug, yeah.
And then she holds up this little like half inch little piece of paper. And cut out of it was the letter B. And she dropped it outside. And it was like She lost $1 million.
So she lost a little paper letter B.
Those handwritten, I was like, you can make 5 more of those in like 2 seconds.
You can make it again. But she was like belligerent.
It was crazy.
It was. But then she fell asleep.
And she, yeah.
She always falls asleep after these moments.
We should know by now that
it's we'll just start laughing at her and be like, you're tired.
Oh, yeah, that was the other one. Because on Saturday, we were singing at a thing.
Oh.
And we're in the car and she's like, I don't want to listen to you sing.
I don't want to listen to you sing.
And it was, we're like, ow, Lacey, that kind of hurts.
And then we look back and she's asleep.
She's totally knocked out.
We're like, oh, she's tired again.
I know. It's just funny. She's so funny.
Yeah. So, So Grayson has been like in Harry Potter mode.
Oh my goodness.
Like everything is like reminds him of Harry Potter. We were driving around the other night and we saw a house with Christmas lights, and the lights were like
red and white.
Red and white, or red and goldish or something like that. He's like, I love that house. It's a Harry Potter house, because the colors look like Gryffindor house colors. He's like, that's a Harry Potter house. And then today we're at church and he pulls out this Wrigley stick of gum and it's yellow, and he's like, look, it's Harry Potter.
It's the house color.
It's yellow, and so he's like, it's a house color, it's Harry Potter.
And then he colored the snowman scarf and he did it red and gold.
Yeah.
And handed it to, he didn't color anything else but the scarf, and he was like, it's Harry Potter, snowman.
So it's fun because we love Harry Potter, and so it's...
And we have been known to obsess about books.
Yes.
So it's exciting for me.
Yeah, so it's like...
We have created a book nerd!
Yay! Woo! Accomplished! So that's been fun, and so we know we'll have to contact Santa to let him know to maybe bring Grayson some Harry Potter stuff.
Right. Lots of it.
Yes.
Speaking of Grayson, all of our kids were at the babysitter because we were singing at another event. And when we got there, and they ended up...
Did we explain the whole singing thing?
I think we've talked about that.
Did we talk about
it
last
week?
We're in a caroling group, acapella caroling group for the winter.
Right. So we've been singing at a ton of events. And so we had a babysitter for an event, and it ended up being 4 hours long. And, or three, that was the 3 hour one. And, so we go there and I was like, how did it go? Was everyone okay? And I always have to ask, how was Grayson? Cause he can be a little moody. And she said, well, at some point he went and sat down at the table and was pouting. And when I asked him what was wrong, he said, I just don't like being told what to do. And she said, he just kind of moped for a little while. And this is a woman that has
Two teenage boys
and a younger boy.
Oh, well.
Almost teenager.
He's almost 12, so.
Yeah, and so, and she and her husband are standing together, and she goes, oh, you are going to love him as a teenager. And she just goes.
And then they proceeded to.
No. She starts laughing. She's like. And then her husband's like.
Like, they're maliciously laughing.
But it wasn't like. Like, they weren't joking. They were genuine. It was genuine laughter. And I just stood there while it's like this inside joke between parents of teenagers. And I was like, oh, I don't like this.
You're like, oh, no.
You're scaring me.
So, that's funny. Well,
Can't wait for that.
If we're still doing this show when he's a teenager, we'll report back on that. There was a fun event this weekend. It was called, we live in Lee County, so it was called Light Up Lee County. And it was, you had a bunch of big blow up things for the kids to play on. But then they had, we live in a warm country, so it's not like ice skating is normal.
Warm county?
What did I say?
You said we live in a warm country.
Oh, well.
The United States of America.
So, this southern New Mexico is warm, and we don't have an ice skating rink in the town, and so they brought an imitation ice skating rink. Now, it wasn't real ice, but they had these connectable white plastic boards, and then they like sprayed water or some type of like oil on it or something. And
I think it was just water.
It was just water, but it made the boards slick. And you really could actually skate on these boards. And they had real ice skates. And so the kids could put on real ice skates and then skate around on these ice skates thing.
Which is funny because they're all, I'm watching them all, and they're all just walking on it. And they're all like, look, Mom, I'm doing it.
I'm skating.
I'm doing it. I'm like, well, you're doing great walking.
Go team.
But it was fun.
But
it was fun, except now this is cold for us, but it was 45 degrees outside.
Yeah.
And so.
Which is really cold in this area.
But we have our 2-year-old who won't wear a coat and won't wear socks.
Yeah. And we were lucky that he kept his shoes on.
Yeah. He kept his shoes on, but I don't know if he just had really dorky pants on, but they didn't cover all of his legs.
That's because they were 18-month pants. Oh. And he's...
It makes sense now. I'm like, what a nerd.
So they were 18-month pants, and he's starting to get closer to wearing 3T stuff.
Yeah, so when I'm holding him on my hip...
It's like he's wearing shorts,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, it basically was. And so I was like, oh, poor kid. And he's just shivering the whole time. And of course, he doesn't want to go on anything, so he's just clinging to me. And at one point, he was like, off, off, and rips his coat off because he won't wear it. And then he flipped out, and he's like... And I was like, do you want your coat back on? He's like, yes!
It is cold!
So it was nice that he realized that
it's
the
cold.
Coat works.
Yeah, the but coat keeps me warm.
Anyway, so I had to unzip my coat and stick him in mine. And
body warmth?
Yeah, like he was like holding him like a kangaroo in my coat. But it actually ended up being really fun because no one else was there. There was like 30 people at this event.
Because it was opening day of the event, but they opened it up in the evening time. And it just happened to be an unusually cold night for the area. And people don't like going out in the
Not
cold
in this town.
And in this town. And so if it gets under 50, people are like, I'm staying in.
Yeah, because I wanted to go home because it was so cold. But I was like, our kids are getting on every ride without waiting.
Yeah.
And they're actually really enjoying themselves. So we stayed forever. It felt like.
Like an hour and a half.
Yeah, it was, but it's fun to see our kids have never ice skated before, so that was fun. I was proud of them.
Well, and the great thing is they would fall and get back up without crying.
Yeah, that was
which
nice.
Was nice.
And there was no blood.
No blood.
Well, there was
a little blood. A Band-Aid sized blood, and luckily Daddy carries Band-Aids in his wallet. So
yeah, it was good.
Good, yeah.
Speaking of good, I had a not good moment.
Yeah.
Now, all parents can tell you this, but showering during awake hours with children is awful. What are you...
Sorry, this is not where I thought you were going, so I'm kind of interested.
Oh, showering.
Okay.
I haven't showered in a few days, but we had an event, so I needed to shower.
Yeah.
And so I get the kids started on their movie, and I'm like, okay, I'm going to take a shower. And I got everything ready because this was going to be like the big mama shower, you know, with like razor and everything.
Shave the legs.
Yeah, like the long shower. And so I'm getting into the shower and Jackson walks in because I didn't lock the door.
Oh, wow.
Barges in. He's like, I pooped. And so I wrap up in my little towel and I take him out and change his diaper. And then I get back in the shower. And I'm actually showering, and Lacey comes in, and she's like, Mom.
You didn't lock the door again?
I didn't lock the door, because I don't know why. Anyway, she walks in. I'm glad I didn't, though, because she walks in, and she's like, I accidentally pooped my pants.
What?
I know, and I was like, you're kidding me! And I had barely even started, and so she's like, I need your help. And she just didn't make it. It was one of those, like, explosive times. But anyway, and I was like, well, I'm not done, so you just stand there until I'm finished, because I was so mad. And I was, like, in the middle of shampooing my hair.
You should have brought her in the shower with you.
Ew, gross. While she's poopy?
It's the easiest way to clean her off.
Ugh, no, because then she stares at my body.
That's what I did with Jackson when...
There's a difference between him and our 4-year-old, who's a little older. But anyway, So I barely got, I just washed my hair and got right out, and I had to, and she's standing in there, and it was like, permeating smell into the shower. I'm like, I can't even enjoy this at all.
Gross.
I know. And so I get out and it was the nastiest thing that I just had her bend over the toilet and I'm wiping her down. And it was like, fine, I will never shower again if this is what it means to shower as a mother.
Yeah.
I quit.
Sorry.
That's... I'm just going to shave my head bald.
Please don't. but we've had some good moments too.
Yeah.
So, one of the good moments is we actually played a new board game today, and it's called Push It, and it's very simple concept. You have a little wooden puck in the middle of the table, and everyone else has two little wooden pucks.
Like, really little. Like, quarter size. Almost.
And you flick them, and whoever's the closest gets a point. Very simple, but it's very well designed, because, you know, it's an actual board game that you can purchase. But the thing is...
I'd call it a tabletop
game. A tabletop game. It's not a board game because there's no board, obviously. Tabletop game. So, and we would encourage everyone to buy this for their family. But the catch is it's a European company. And I checked their website and they don't ship it to the United States. And why we have it is because of my other show where I review games. And so it was sent to me. So we kind of lucked out there. But I would, you know, hopefully in the future they'll start shipping it to the U.S. And then it was so fun. I would say everyone should buy it.
All of our kids liked it.
Even our 2-year-old was able to play.
Yeah,
and
it was
not very well, but he had fun flicking the little wooden discs.
Right, and I had fun.
Yeah,
like so much fun.
It was lots of fun, and we look forward to playing it with just adults, so you have that really hard edge competitiveness.
I know. It's hard to be so competitive and be a parent.
And be a parent at times because oftentimes you want to be like, booyah, take that. And then you're like, don't say that to your sister.
No, the worst thing is like when we win, we're like, whoa, yeah, I won. And then we have to turn around and be like, no, it doesn't matter if you win or lose.
I know, right?
It's horrible. But it was so fun. And it's to the point where the game lasted like 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And then as soon as we finished, they're like, let's play again. So that's a good sign.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a good sign.
What?
Me breaking my phone.
Your second phone.
I know. I'm sorry.
Broke it.
I'm sorry.
It's dead. So.
It wasn't my fault. I didn't know I put it on my coat.
Uh-huh. That was the second time it cracked, though. Like, you had cracked it previously.
2 days after I got the replacement phone.
Yeah.
I cracked it.
And then it was just, it was bound to die.
It just kept going.
It just, so, yeah.
But it was on my coat.
I guess.
And I was gracefully trying to jump up onto a stage, and my hand caught on my slippery coat, and the coat went flying, and the phone went flying, and it landed on the hardwood floor. So I haven't had a phone for a week. But what's annoying is I can see when people text me or call me, but I can't swipe it. And so it was horrible to see how many people, no one ever texts me except for like 2 friends and my mom and you. And so I just kept seeing all these people text me asking questions like moms from school and everything. And that's like torture.
I know.
It's like.
So
spoiled
part of
American torture.
Part of Crystal's Christmas will be getting a new phone.
Another phone.
Yay. So we'll probably order that tomorrow.
And I am so mad at myself and frustrated.
That's okay. I don't think it's that big of a deal, but it happens.
Well,
broken phones happen.
I am grateful for this phone. That you will be buying me.
And it's good. It's good that you're grateful because we wanted to talk about how can we raise our children to be grateful. That's our topic of the night.
And this article surprised me because we were thinking this would be good for Christmas to do this, but it really was like you can't really. Basically, you're training them to just go through the motions of gratitude.
Yeah,
and eventually someday they'll pick it up. Like they said, you really can't judge if you're raising a kid to be grateful at like 6, but if they're 35 and have a grateful attitude, then you're doing a good job.
That's right.
And I was like, oh,
You did something right. If they're adults and they're good, grateful adults.
Right.
So this article talks about 5 ways to raise a grateful child. And it gives advice and it gives you a scenario and then tells you the in the moment fix and then the long-term strategy of that type of scenario. And this article we found on parenting.com, and not a sponsor, but should be. So the first scenario is your 9-year-old keeps running and growing.
Keeps growing
list of toys he has to have. He's up to number 23 this season. So I'm sure a lot of you have the experience of your children wanting tons of stuff. And so in the moment fix. So
I thought I was going over this one.
You are going over this one because you read it. So sorry, I was in the moment.
Okay, so if your kid has this growing list of toys, this psychologist suggests that you should emphasize that there are a lot of things that they want, but let them know that it's only possible to get a few things, which I thought was interesting, that you should acknowledge that they want a lot of things, because then you're showing them that you don't think that they're greedy or foolish for wanting a lot of things.
Yeah, because I want a lot of things. I mean, even as an adult, you still want a lot of things.
Right, but I don't know. I guess but
we just understand that you're not going to get everything you want.
Yeah. And I guess there's a difference between wanting things and, like, not feeling satisfied because you want things.
Yeah.
Or you don't have. Anyway, so they said that something else you can do is, set the expectations that they're not going to get a lot of stuff. But then you should suggest having them make a second list equal to the number of things that they want, where it's things that they can give. So some examples that they give is like, number one, clean your room. Number two, help find a charity that your family can donate. Pitch in when your parent starts wrapping a gift or make a card. And so they said to teach your kids that the giving part of it's exciting.
Yes.
And that you can give more, and it's easy to come up with that much more of giving than it is to receive.
Which is nice, because something that we've done on a regular basis, we haven't done it every year, but we've done it a few times where we take our kids and we go to the giving tree or whatever, where they, you know, they have like the angel tree where you pick up a child's name that, you know, is less fortunate, and you buy the gift that's on the card or something like that, and then you return it to the tree. And, you know, we've done that a couple times to let the kids know that there are other children out there that don't have what they have. And so,
well, and what's fun is we used to get a tag for each kid, so all of our kids could go shopping for someone else.
Yes.
So I haven't found an angel tree this year.
They have one at Walmart, I think.
Is that an angel tree? I wasn't sure. Anyway, so the other thing they recommend is don't scare your kids with the truth. Like saying, we can't buy presents because dad might lose his job and we have to cut back. Because then your kid's going to think, well, am I going to have a place to live? Or
yeah.
So they say, don't scare them, but you should tell them the facts. Like, nothing major is going to change, but we have to wait to go on vacation, and we're going to have to hold off on that bike you wanted. And they said it's likely that your kids will be fine with that. But the long-term strategy for this was that you need to help them recognize that it's not the gift, but it's the gesture behind the gift. And so, like, for example, they said, if they receive a present, you need to point out everything that the giver put into it. Like, for example, if a classmate made a friendship bracelet, then you should say, oh, wow, look how your friend remembered that you thought these are cool, and they picked out all your favorite colors. It must have taken them for forever, and that's so nice. And then do this enough times and they'll understand that the quality and not the quantity behind the gift.
Yes.
So I love that.
To teach kids quality?
Yeah, because
those are the gifts you like, though.
Yeah, I guess. So I'm probably not lacking in that area.
There you go. All right, so the next one is your 5-year-old grimaces at the stuffed Elmo her aunt gives her and says, but I wanted a Barbie.
Just so you know, I would grimace if someone gave our kids an Elmo.
Yeah.
I can't stand Elmo.
But in the moment fix, it basically goes over and says that you want to be an example at for your kids, or you rectify the situation as quickly as you can. Like, say, I know you wanted a Barbie, but let's think about all the different ways we can play with Elmo. And then if they don't get it, then you can be the example and say, oh, wow, that gift was very thoughtful. They remembered that you needed that. And so if your kids aren't being the greatest, the good thing is to be an example for them. And something else that I thought was interesting is they said you should actually kind of, it's almost like you should role play with your kids.
Right.
And they said even have like a written up dialogue for your kids for if they receive a gift that they're not too excited about, that they should have a phrase that they have memorized already saying, thank you, I like it a lot. And then they said, you should, and they said, make sure that they also try to pick something specifically to compliment about the gift. Like, this blanket feels really soft. So,
I don't know. That one bugs me. Like, I think, like, the fact that you're teaching your, it's basically like saying, you lie. You know, like, it's saying, I liked it a lot.
It's like a white lie, though, right?
But you can come up with a white lie that's a little more honest. Like, instead of saying, I like it a lot, you could say, this color is my favorite, you know, or yeah, something else.
Well, the long-term strategy, one of the things that they mentioned to kind of a different way of doing it is to have a cue with your kids. So when they open up a gift and they're just like, you could clap your hands and be like, great present. And that's like, that's your child's cue to be like, oh yeah, thank you so much. And their cue to thank for the gift and get them into manners mode.
I think that's so funny.
So,
or you could be like our kid. Last year, we usually like to film our kids opening their presents from family members that live far away.
Yeah.
And their grandma had got the girls' little fabric dolls.
Yeah.
And Jay opened it, and she goes, oh, I love it so much! And she just starts smashing it against the ground. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And we're like, what are you doing? And we're filming it, and she's like, I love it so much!
Like, she's hitting the doll's head on the ground. But she was excited.
She was. It was the weirdest
thing.
But
it was like, that's how she was showing her excitement, was slamming the doll on the ground.
Yeah, and then I was like, I am not sending that to your grandma. Like, let's reenact this. And you just say, oh, it's so cute.
We should have sent her the real one.
I know. This is what we think of your toys.
Ah! So, when your kids are not being grateful for the gifts that they give, be the example or have cues for them to make sure that they say thank you, even for the gifts that they don't like.
Well, and that's true because I know whenever we have a birthday party, I always feel wary because our kids are kind of, they don't typically like the mainstream stuff. So when they open a gift that's not what I know they really care about, I always am like, what are they going to do? But generally, our kids are pretty good. They'll just kind of set it aside. Yeah, or, you know,
have,
which...
They have been so far.
Yeah. I guess we've been lucky this way. So far. Knock on wood.
So, your turn.
Oh, is it? Let's see. Okay, you can't even take your kid to get socks or light bulbs without them whining for you to buy him something. Seemingly anything. Which, this is another one I think every parent can
relate to this.
But they said, before you go shopping, remind your kid that you are not going to buy them a toy.
Yeah.
Set the expectations now.
Yeah, set the expectations. We're going to the store to buy this, this, and this. I'm not going to the store to buy you anything.
Yeah, and they say, like, if you're going to be going to the store to buy gift for someone else, be sure and engage them in the process. Like, ask them what their cousin likes and which toy they should get for them. Yeah. Get them excited about buying for someone else, which I think is nice because it also has that gratitude where you have a more giving spirit than a receiving attitude, I guess. But anyway, so yeah, make sure they know you're not buying anything for them. And if they throw a fit at the store, you can refer back to the conversation. Like, I know it's hard to be here when you're not getting anything, but that's the rule. But I love how they say, let's be honest, that might not be enough to stop his whining. But steel yourself and stay strong, because caving in will only teach him that he will eventually get his way if he complains loud or long enough.
That's right.
And I love that.
You're not going to break me, buddy.
Well, because we always read these parenting articles where they're like, and then if you just do this, then everything will be magically so much better.
They will realize that you are right, and
yeah.
And they will love and appreciate you.
Yeah, and I love this. They're like, let's face it, it's gonna stink.
It's gonna, they're still gonna
You're gonna
whine.
Fail and lose.
They're still gonna whine, so just deal with it.
So, finally, a truthful, honest
That's right.
thing. Anyway, so the long-term strategy for this one is that... Oh, I love this. They suggest don't make all your free time with your kids about needing to go to the store. Because I know Saturday is usually like our big shopping day. We go all together.
Yeah.
And they said you don't want your kids to always see you acquiring stuff and think that that's a normal thing. So they suggest sometimes for your free time, do something else. Like go to the library, go swimming, go do something. And they say... try to do things that don't involve hanging out in stores. And I love this. They suggest prepare kids for events with your family the same way you would for gifts. Like, for example, they say, we're going to have a big, delicious meal with all of your favorite foods, and then we're going to play games. So the idea you want to get across is that having experiences can be just as exciting as accumulating things, if not more.
So, and you're all about that. All about experience the moment. So, but yeah, no.
But. I will say, people always say, like, because of course I post the good things on Facebook. People are always like, you're such a good mom. You always do this. And I'm like, yeah, that was like once this month. You didn't see me the rest of the month when I was yelling at him. And
just be like, this is Wednesday. It's not the rest of the week.
I know. So I just have to say, I love doing family experiences, but I haven't mastered the everyday mom thing.
Yeah. So the next one is, your six-year-old gobbles down the Teddy Grahams that another parent at the playground gives to him. But when you prod him to say thank you, he won't. So basically, this is talking about you're going to have the battle of wills and everything, but that you shouldn't make it an awkward situation. You shouldn't keep... prodding and prodding and prodding your kid. Or like, I've met parents that like will not back down, mm-hmm. and like you will say thank you right now, and like it becomes super awkward or like volatile almost. Yeah. It's just like, whoa, it's okay, you know. Some kids, they just, you know, get shy. That so the thing is they're like, don't push it because it's gonna be cause discomfort. And but they said, if it gets to the point where your child never says anything, then they say, you should be the example and say, you know, and thank you so much for him, you know, instead of if your child's not going to be. So you're showing grateful behavior. You're modeling that for your kids.
Yeah. And well, and we have specifically one child who does not like talking to strangers. So I'm not going to force her to step out of her comfort zone when she's scared to talk to the stranger.
Yeah.
So I think that's a hard one for people because you want your kids to say thank you.
It's important to still say, can you say thank you? Like, remind them what they need to do. But if they don't do it, then you shouldn't. I mean, maybe prod them a couple times, but then just let it go.
Mm-hmm.
But then be the example. Be like, thank you very much.
Right.
So.
But people think it's adorable when your kids do say thank you.
It's true.
Anyway.
All right.
Did you do the long term?
Just
same thing.
Model good behavior.
Okay, next one. Oh, here's another one. I relate to all of these with our kids. When you say no to a DS that, according to your daughter, everyone at school
or an iPad,
a smartphone,
or a phone, or
a tablet,
a tablet, or a video game system,
anything electronic. When you say
a teenager, a car.
When you say no to a DS that, according to your daughter, everyone at school has, she complains that all of her friends get cooler stuff than she does. So I've heard this one so much. Like, when can I get a phone? Everyone else has a phone. I'm like, when you have friends to text.
Get some friends first.
That sounds horrible.
I just joking.
You retract that statement. Retract it.
Never.
Anyway, so, and this is another one where you should sympathize with their frustration, but remind your daughter or child that actually many people don't have as much as she does.
Yeah, that we have it really good compared to a lot of people in the world.
I know. You eat that food. They're starving people
they're
in China.
They're starving people in Ethiopia.
But that's the other thing where it says first sympathize with them so they don't feel greedy or, which is hard. I'm not much of a sympathizer in that way. But they do say start young and start simple. Like even kids as young as 3 can be encouraged to go through their stuff and donate things to charity or whatever. And then they see every year after that, try and get them more involved. Like for example... Well, they just give an example of what someone's done about helping with low-income families. But the other thing that they say for long-term strategy is to expose your child to people from all walks of life. We often try to shield our children from those who are less fortunate, but it's important that kids know how lucky they are. And I love that because that's true. Yeah. You don't want your kids to see that there's hardships in the world. But they suggest, like, anytime you pass a homeless person or read a story about a needy family in the newspaper, they suggest asking questions to your kids like, where do you think that person sleeps? Or can you imagine what it would be like not to have a home? And that helps your kids get a little more sympathy or empathy and put themselves in their shoes. And then you can reassure them that they will always have a home and that they are blessed. They should be grateful for what they have. And I love that. And the kids supposedly will want to help those people.
Awesome. All right. And the very last is a bonus advice for parents. Don't diss yourself as long as your little one is around. In fact, make a point of talking about the redeeming qualities of even the hideous necklace from your mother-in-law. How shiny. You have to model gratitude if you want your child to practice it too. So, you know... Even things you don't like, you should be like, oh, you know, this and that, and show
gratitude. Well, it's that same thing,
like,
you're recognizing the thought behind it more than the gift itself.
Yes.
And that's what we're trying to train our kids to do.
Exactly.
So there you go. Hopefully, you can apply these to Christmas this year and have a wonderful season.
Yes, definitely. So thank you for listening to The Clown Car. Parenting is hard, and we believe you should get a gold star just for trying.
Just remember, our way is not the only way, so find what works for you. You are doing a good job.
You can follow us and share your thoughts on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and email us at theclowncarshow@gmail.com. And make sure you subscribe, rate, and review our show on iTunes. And until next time, enjoy your circus. You've been listening to a Closet Geek Studios production. For all information about Closet Geek Studios, visit theclosetgeek.net for all your geeky needs, or follow us on Twitter and Facebook.